Ahoy, faithful listeners! We are holding at 95 subscribers on YouTube. Wouldn't it be just so darn great to get to 100 by the 100th episode? I certainly think so. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Let's get to 100 together! Today's episode features Norm in caller freeform mode. Coming to us from April 6th, 1996, it is titled, Yo Ho Ho! And a bottle of fun. Tom Howie was the producer. We begin our journey with Norm and I talking everything from guest and scheduling issues to bumper stickers in job dedication. Norm's Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother, the good old HGPG, offers up more sage advice that has me on the edge of my seat, only to fall right off the chair in disappointment. There was a guest problem as Carol Gardner, author of Bumper Sticker Wisdom, America's Pulpit Above the Tailpipe, was attending a function that conflicted with our interview time. But that doesn't stop us from having a lively discussion about bumper stickers that Helene from Belmont joins in on later. Marge from Indiana calls in to talk about pirate radio stations. Norm had mentioned that our guest the next night would be Andrew Yoder, who wrote Pirate Radio, the saga of America's underground illegal broadcasters. It was also going to be game night on Sunday with Linda Romero in the game Perspectives, and then John J. Moran with Daring Passages, the board game in a bottle. Uncle Norm talks about being the interviewee when he was speaking to Jeff Kaufman of WFAD in Middlebury, Vermont, where Norm and I were going to do our little old-time radio show. This leads to a list of the upcoming event dates on the Old Time Radio Show World Tour. Peabody, Topsfield, Medford! If any of you had a chance to see us do this, or just want to say hi, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at normnathanvos, vault of silliness, VOS, at gmail.com. Link below as well. There's a double date brewing for the prom with Monica and her daughter, Veronica, from Nahant. We learn that one or both of Norm's daughters were overwhelmed by Boston at Christmas time when their grandmother took them to see Santa at Jordan Marsh. Peter with a sweet call, and Norm is just so grateful he's sending him quite the gift. We are now graced with the presence of the lovely and talented Linda Chase. She's accompanied by the lovely and talented Dick Paris. They promote some upcoming shows and talk to callers, including the one and only Robert from Everett. This is another classic Norman Robert call. The tape skips to an inquisitive caller asking about Linda's looks and wishing she would cut an album. We move to side B, where we continue with Linda as we hear from Carrie. She's a high school student who, at the time, was ranked number 2 in the state for drumming. Lawrence from Pennsylvania tells us more than you'd ever want to know about Windburg, Pennsylvania. Mary from Pennsylvania adds a very important detail Lawrence left out. Bernie asks about Guy Manella, and Norm lets him know what his own personal goals are. There's another very sweet call, this time from Dottie. She sums up how, I believe, we all felt about Norm. Episode 81, Yo Ho Ho and a Bottle of Fun, set sail in 3, 2, and 1.
Well, maybe they just
wasn't a good week.
It wasn't a good week. I thought.
And the baseball on the weekends came up at the last minute. Now I've got to bump a few people around and see if they can come on later or move people.
People don't understand.
With the surplus of people now, we'll have guests until, I think, probably next March.
I don't think people understand the pain, the anguish, the devotion that you give to your job here.
You're right.
If everybody...
Especially to this show.
Especially to this show, yeah. Of course, that leads me into a quote from my Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother. She said, show me a man who's devoted to his job, who cares about it, who stays awake worrying because he wants to do a job in a perfect kind of way. Show me that kind of a man.
Yes.
And I'll show you.
Yes.
I'll show you.
Yes.
A green piece of lettuce. I may be quoting you wrong in that last part. But I've run out of funny things.
How about a rusted piece of lettuce?
A rusted
piece of lettuce.
I didn't know that.
Rusty lettuce.
Yeah, rusty lettuce. That sounds like a...
It was a neighbor of mine.
A rock group, yeah, something like that. Anyway,
you notice how I puffed up my chest when you went through that. I told you that on the birthday game. Every time you give me one of those quotes on the Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother, I have to sit up really, really tall in the chair.
Because they all seem to apply to you.
Yeah, that's true. Then you hit the gripping punchline. Well, not the punchline, but the moral to the whole story, and it just deflates.
Well, anyway, the guest tonight was supposed to be Carol Gardner, and I was really looking forward to it. She has a book called Bumper Sticker, Wisdom, America's Pulpit Above the Tailpipe, which is kind of funny. It's a funny book, and it's laid out beautifully, just all kinds. See those color pictures and everything. It's so nice.
Let's flip them a little bit louder so everyone can hear.
Okay, let's...
Everyone look at your radios.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was nice. And it's kind of interesting because people pour out their guts on bumper stickers. But in any case, Carol had some other thing to do with this night. Anyway, she said something or other.
It's funny about bumper stickers. You remember the signs people used to put in their windows? Those little, they used to look like traffic signs, but they had different sayings on them. They were shaped like diamonds, yellow.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Like that went... Kind of went the way of the dinosaur, didn't it?
Yeah, the one that I always wondered about was Baby Aboard. Was it
that? Baby
was
on Board?
Baby
on Board. Actually, that's the one who probably started the whole thing. Because then there was the one I had, which said ex-girlfriend in trunk.
Really?
I
never saw that one. But Baby, it's like, I have a baby on board, so don't run into me. Otherwise, I expected somebody would run into that person. A lot of them don't make any sense. Some of them are quite obscene, but a lot of them...
Really? Which ones are those?
Well, I'm going to do those a little bit later on. And
it's a little too early in the show.
It's a little too early. I mean, the kids may still be up and listening. But it's kind of interesting, the kind of bumper stickers, aside from the fact that we've always had them for political candidates and all of that. You know, Tony Nesbitt for mayor.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Jeez, I don't even have one of those on my car.
Well, you never entered that contest with a great heart.
That's true.
Okay, so as a result, we would love to hear from you at 254-1030, area code 617. We can talk about bumper stickers anyway. Maybe you've seen one that particularly appeals to you. I love the one that say something about high school.
I heard you say this.
Joel Mesnick.
Yep.
This car contains Joel Mesnick, the number one student at the Howe Manning School
in
Middleton, something. The student of the year, something of that nature.
Student even of the month.
Student of the month, It's more apt to be the student of the month. And I guess the parents are very proud, and they want everybody to know.
The bumper stickers of the family.
Yeah.
I have one that says, just visiting this planet.
Do you want your car?
No, it's not on my car. It's hanging up in another room at home.
That's not the same thing.
I don't like to put bumper stickers on my car. It ruins the paint finish and stuff.
I never put them on my car.
They don't look as nice as they used to do on the chrome bumpers of years gone by.
Yeah.
Those were bumpers for bumper stickers.
Yeah, but kids today, they don't
bumpers
care.
Today,
they're just not made the same. They don't care. Kids today don't care. The kids when I was growing up, they were kids who cared, but kids today...
I don't care.
I know. Anyway, tomorrow we'll be talking with...
No, I heard from this guy. He said he's going to be on.
Okay, this is Andrew Yoder. Not even tomorrow, actually. It's tonight because we go on 11 o'clock on Saturday night.
Hopefully there's a baseball tonight, too, at 7, but hopefully it won't be another four-hour game.
What game are we tackling? Some other kind of game that nobody cares about? Is that...
St. Louis and Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that'll have a big audience. That's really good. The author of Andrew Yoder... You think after that, if that's postponed, we'll do a minor league game, the Mud Hens.
The thing is, if they're postponed or rained out, you're actually on at 7, so you'd have to do a 12-hour show.
Oh, really?
Well, isn't that...
I guess that's true, yeah. Something I guess that's true. Anyway, Andrew Yoder is the author of Pirate Radio, the incredible saga of America's underground illegal broadcasters, and he'll be talking with us. That should be quite interesting.
This show is kind of like that, you know.
This is kind of like...
Pirate radio on a legal station.
That's right.
Yeah.
George Westinghouse never envisioned the fact that there'd be an underground radio station
above ground.
Yeah, above ground with Westinghouse's label on it. Anyway, and then over the weekend, we have a couple of
games.
Game shows.
Well, actually, tomorrow night at midnight.
Oh, that's right. Right after the Underground Radio, we have Linda Romero with the perspective, the timeline. You know, she gives about three or four historical events, and you put them in chronological sequence. I think that's a fascinating idea for a program.
And it's tough.
Yeah. And then after that, we have on Sunday night, mm-hmm. John J. Moran, who has the quizzes in a bottle, mm-hmm. and the Daring Passages, a Passages Man. That's kind of fascinating because we give away games to people who can guess the answers to all of these things.
Yes.
A lot of people get a big kick out of that, and I do too, and I think that's fun.
I'm glad you do.
I am. I'm just so glad myself. I'm really so, so very glad.
Are you glad?
I'm glad.
You know something?
I don't care. next Wednesday night.
Tuesday night.
Well, Tuesday we'll be at the Middlebury Inn.
Oh.
Is that what you were leading
up
to? Yeah,
I thought you were going to mention
that. No, I talked with a guy named Jeff Kaufman today. I don't know how many people can hear us in Middlebury, Vermont. I have gotten calls from there before from people who were planning to be up in Middlebury.
You skip over almost all that state and get to Burlington. I know they can hear us in Burlington.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is all the rest of it we miss.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so maybe nobody can hear us there. But I was on with a guy named Jeff Kaufman on WFAD, which is a radio station in Middlebury. We were talking about the old time radio thing we were going to do Tuesday night at the Middlebury Inn, and he, a young guy, had a lot of excerpts of old radio shows, and he was very, very sharp. If I owned this radio station, I'd hire him. I thought he was really good.
Young meaning how young?
I don't know. I never asked him, but okay. He sounded like he was in his. 30s maybe. Yeah, no more than that.
He had good taste.
Yeah, he was really sharp. And then a lot of people have asked us about a thing we're doing in Peabody on the same old-time radio thing, which is on, what's the next night?
Wednesday
night, that's right. At the Felton Smith, not museum, historic event, something there, I forget. It's near Brooksby Farms.
You'll find it.
Yeah, if I can find it, you can find it. It's off of Lowell Street behind the North Shore Shopping Center in that general area.
Yeah.
And it's free. There's no admission charge at all, so I can plug it on that basis.
What time is that show?
That's we'll go on about 7:30 probably on Wednesday night over there. Because a lot of people have been asking about this, and can they come and hear the talk
mm-hmm.
where we play excerpts of old radio shows and talk about what radio was like back in the 30s and 40s. Well, you know all that because you've come out with me a lot and heard my spiel about 8,000 times. I get up there and I tell the same jokes and I say the same things. And I think you're very nice for being courteous enough and not saying, I heard that before. Shut up, old guy.
And I do the same things, too, because I have to react the same way to all your corny jokes.
Oh, you're very nice. You sit up there and smile like you never heard what I'm saying ever. This is like the first time.
Big time show business.
Yeah. So this is the Felton Smith thing. It's on Felton Street, which uh-huh. is why it's called that. And I don't
What's
have
the
name
Smith
yet.
Have to do with it?
What's that?
What's the Smith have to do with
it? I'm not even sure it is Smith.
Maybe it used to be Smith Street.
Might have been Smith Street, yes. Might have been.
Or maybe Felton Street leads into Smith Street, or it's at the intersection of the corner.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, that'll be on Wednesday night. They have a little business meeting ahead of time at 7, and we go on somewhere between 7:30 and 7:45 in Peabody.
If you can find it.
Yeah, if I can find it. If not, I hope they'll kind of vamp till ready.
You'll phone it in.
I'll phone it in. So that's what's coming up. We'll be also at St. Rose's Church in Thompsonville, which is another. I don't mention a lot of places we are at because a lot of them are private party kind of things. And this one is public and there's no charge. And then
another one.
And then St. Rose's Church in Thompsonville, a week or two later. That's also a nighttime thing, like on a Saturday or Friday or something night. I don't know. I'll look that up.
Jeez,
busy, busy, busy schedule.
Yeah,
oh, busy. Life is busy. You ever notice
what's
how busy
the next show
life
we
is?
Do together anyway? Isn't it in Medford?
Yes, we do one in Medford. I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but we'll talk about that for people. There's a lot of people get a kick out of meeting Tony Nesbitt.
I don't know.
No, why they do that, I'll never know. But anyway, that's the thing. Meantime, we'll be here through the night till about 5 in the morning. Later on, we will play the dumb birthday game. Right after 3 o'clock, if you'd like to play the game with us, you might call Tom Howie at 254-1030, area code 617, and say, Tom, you know, I like to play the dumb birthday game. And he'll talk with you, and maybe you will play it with us. We'd like that.
And when he answers the phone, he goes, yes.
Okay. Anyway, 254, we'll take some calls in just a minute, or whenever we get some, whichever comes first.
I think it's okay to talk about it because it's ancient history. So nobody's going to get in trouble at this point.
Okay.
In 1981 or so in Bloomington, a crazy guy, I'll just give his first name, as named Bruce, and a number of other people got together a small transmitter. This is on FM, and later it was on shortwave, too, and they called it Jolly Roger Radio. And the way they operated, they would set up in various people's apartments. And it was very much freeform. Everybody had monikers, of course. And in order to take requests, they would have someone stationed at a payphone. And, of course, each time they were on the air, it would be a different payphone. And so they would move around from apartment to apartment and from payphone to payphone for the requests. But I think that later on, he was almost daring the FCC to catch him because he would stay on longer and longer and be on shortwave, and ultimately he did get caught.
Yeah.
But when I was part of that, I was a grad student, and my moniker was Fearless Folklore.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't particularly want to get caught because I was in the middle of doctoral exams and I had too much at stake, so I wasn't really into challenging anyone. So I did shows, but I would tape them at home and give them to Bruce, and they would then be aired later on.
Now, what happened to Bruce when he was caught? It doesn't seem to me like one of the major crimes of the world.
I don't even know that he did jail particularly. Actually, what's the ironic thing is that he's now in legitimate radio. His family, I guess, is pretty well off, and they have a number of radio stations in Indiana. I guess it's called Quinn Family Enterprises. I've just given away his last name, and they have a legitimate station now in outside of Indianapolis called WQFE, which is sort of oldies and, I mean, very conventional format. They're no longer, obviously.
He swung away from the pirate underground wild kind of stuff, and he's become one of the establishment.
He certainly has. But it was quite an experience and quite an adventure to have been involved in that.
Yeah, there were a number of people, I guess, at one point. Well, we'll find out tomorrow when we talk with Andrew Yoder, the writer of this book, you know, about different forms of it. There are some, you know, just how it went. I know some people set up stations in their basement and all that kind of stuff and just broadcast fairly low power, so you can only pick them up in not great distances and all. And they would broadcast all kinds of stuff. But I guess there's equipment that can home in on these stations so they can find out where they're coming from and eventually will get to you, like your friend, after he's been on the air for a long time. But I can't imagine anybody getting a prison sentence for that. You know, what are you in for?
He was arrested. I don't think he did jail or anything that I recall. But it was 10 or 15 years ago. But because I have, of course, I guess he did manage to reach quite a distance when he did broadcast on shortwave, which I never picked that up, but he apparently did.
On shortwave?
He was able to broadcast on FM, which was very local, and also was able to get onto shortwave.
Yeah, too. What did he broadcast? Did he broadcast anything worth listening to?
Well, I thought so. I mean, everything from real traditional folk music to punk to just silliness. It was certainly eclectic in what I guess is called in the underground biz free form.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't know. Since I have had some experience with this, I'm wondering if anybody is going to be taping this segment, and if there's any way I can connect with a person that might be taping it. Perhaps I could leave my address with your producer.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you could talk with somebody you know who could tune in and listen and tape it themselves.
Yeah.
I just hate to get in the middle of that kind of a thing because it gets a little complicated. Well,
yeah.
Not complicated, just things.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy to go along with that, I guess. Maybe is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I wish you a very happy Easter, Marge, and I hope it's a great weekend for you.
Well, thank you very much.
I am to the prom.
Well, why not?
Why not? Why not is right.
I'll take my pal Veronica, and we can switch partners.
Who is Veronica?
My daughter.
Your daughter?
I'll fix her up with Tony.
Oh, I see.
How old is Tony, Norm?
Tony's about 28.
Oh, Veronica's a little older. She's 31.
Oh, she's an old lady. She's decrepit. She's falling apart. No, he wouldn't want anybody that old. Oh,
well,
no.
Wait a minute. You're negotiating for him. Ask him first.
I'll ask him first. Sure.
Okay,
I'll
have a good night. Happy Passover.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you,
okay.
Monica.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, my friend Monica was... You got about the heaviest local accent of anybody I've ever heard. I think she's making it up. She probably, when she's not on the air talking with me, she probably talks quite differently. Hello, I'm Monica, and I live in the haunt. She probably talks like that. She's just putting that on. Anyway, 254-1030, area code is the very lovely and somewhat sensuous 617. We pay plenty to have that kind of an area code in this area. And I want to talk to Helene. If there's anybody in the entire world I want to talk to right this very minute, it's my friend Helene. Hello.
Hello, Norm. When I called, I said I was asked what I wanted to talk about, and I said nothing really, but he sounded rather forlorn and desperate.
I know it. He doesn't. I must tell Tom. He's a nice guy, and I think according to the WBZ Westinghouse rules, you're supposed to ask somebody who calls what they want to talk about. I suppose if they can say we want to talk about how we're getting a gang of people together to blow up the custom house, then it'd be okay because then you've given a reason. but normally I don't care. As long as mostly I'd like Ed Tom, and who's very perceptive, just to find out whether the person sounds like a nutcake or not. I really don't care what you talk about, as long as we don't get too heavy.
Well, I even said if there are a lot of lines lit up, just forget it. But he put me on anyway. So
I'm glad he did. You could have said, let me see if I can give you some reasons for other people for calling. When Tom says, and this is Tom Howie, who's our producer, who's the fellow you talk to. If he says, what is it you want to talk about? Say, I'm polluting the Charles River so that anybody within 100 yards of it will die of a dreaded acid drug. Now that's not too glamorous. That doesn't sound too good.
No,
that's not a good reason.
No one would be going out to do that in this weather.
I know it. I mean, nobody would believe that too. I was just trying to think of something that would shock him.
Well, I was going to say that I'd like to have heard the bumper sticker lady.
I would too. We're going to try to reschedule her anyway. Tony says she's at some kind of meeting. I don't know what, and it's going to take about 3 more hours before she. She gets back home.
I'll be awake then, but
I won't be awake then myself.
I rather like bumper stickers. As a matter of fact, I use so many that I may need to use a periscope in order to drive. But for a while I was putting the college and university stickers of my offspring. And as they both have graduate degrees as well as undergraduate degrees, it was getting, and then I added my daughter-in-law's, it was getting pretty crowded. But now they're all political. And I have a feeling that if I tell you what they are, you know, the program will not be the sort of program you want it to be.
No, but this is kind of interesting because I was telling my daughter Sonia, who I talked with a little bit earlier tonight, this past night, I just throw that in to show you what a compassionate, wonderful father I am. I talk with my daughters quite a lot. And I said, we're having this bumper sticker lady. And she was mentioning the fact that very often you can like a person or dislike them intensely by the bumper stickers, particularly if you're very, you know, very, very, very much tuned to politics, as I know you are, and I am too. And so if they have a bumper sticker about some Schmedrick kind of candidates you don't care about at all. You know, you almost want to jam them, run into them, run them off the road, you know. Anyway, that you get quite an impression. Carol Gardner has bumper stickers in it that deal with a whole lot of other things, not just political candidates. In fact, most of them, although some of them get political, like here's one that says, Anita told the truth. I guess we all know what that is.
Well, I have some as well. Apart from the, as you can imagine, I have Clinton Gore, I have Kerry. I have my favorite is Friends Don't Let Friends Vote Republican.
That's great.
And someone brought me one that has a paw print on it and says Socks 96.
Oh, Socks 96? Okay, I was just looking at some that she has here. Feel safe tonight, sleep with a cop. anyway, the funny ones, even if you don't agree with them, I think some of them are kind of funny. Let's see. Some of these I can't even read on the air. Some of them are really wild. Good cowgirls keep their calves together. So it was another one. I'm just kind of picking them at random here. Some of them are very serious. I've seen this one a lot. If you can read this, you're too damn close.
Yeah.
A lot of people have that kind of thing. It's bad enough driving sober. Don't drive drunk. You know, so some of them make sense. Anyway, a lot of them are kind of funny. You wonder, the people... Can you design and have made a bumper sticker especially for yourself? Are there companies like that?
I think there must be, because I've seen some that are rather personal, so I think they must have been made on order.
Yeah, they couldn't be made in any mass numbers at all, because there wouldn't be that many people. Here's one, Nobody for President in 92, and it's sponsored by the Nobody for President Committee. 92 would have been the year, of course, President Clinton was elected, but they didn't like him and or whoever was running against him at that time.
That was Bush and Perot.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. my son, no, that I can't read that one. Yeah. Oh, one that I like, and I have seen this one. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
Oh, that's
awesome. I do like that one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the one Tony said, my ex-girlfriend is in my trunk. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. I think that's great. I love my boss. I love my job. I'm self-employed. So I'm not a bum. My wife works. And one says, kick a lawyer today. I think a lot of people would probably applaud that. I think we've become so anti-lawyer.
Well, you know, my grandson... One of my grandsons is probably going into law, and he said he finds now that he's an object of scorn. And even my son, who is his uncle, said when I mentioned the fact that the boy's mother had said she sensed since he was two that he was going to be a lawyer, my son said, she said that about her own son?
I very rarely ever put bumper stickers on my car. You say you put a lot on yours.
Oh, I do. I gave up putting the bumper stickers, stickers for the universities. Now they're all political. And even so, it's getting hard to drive. That's why the Periscope may be the next purchase. Maybe they should sell cars with Periscopes for people who are very political.
Now, the last bumper sticker I think put on my car was back in 1978 when the town I lived in, not lived in them, I mean, I still live in the same town, we had the bumper stickers celebrating our 250th anniversary of the founding of the town, of the naming of it and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's about it, and that's not terribly political.
No, or controversial.
Not controversial at all, and they were kind of chintzy stickers. They kind of fell off, I think, about after 3 days.
Well, they do a job, but my car is, well, it's the one, it is now 10 and a half years old, and it still just has less than 15,000 miles.
Is that right? What do you do? Just drive it out of the garage and back in the garage again just to keep it warmed up?
I drive around Belmont. I have not got agoraphobia to the point of not wanting to leave the house. It is so far just not wanting to leave Belmont. It's probably going to get worse.
Well, a lot of people want to drive to paradise, but you're already there. So what's the point? Where else is there that matches Belmont?
Well, you know, actually, I have, until I moved here, I've only lived in large, impersonal places, New York, Los Angeles, and London. And Belmont is a town.
That's
and
right.
And I know the people in town government. I know a lot of people. Every time I go out, I meet people I know. It's the only experience I've ever had living in a town, and I like it.
No, because I live the same way. I live in even a smaller town than you do, and I do that, too. I get almost claustrophobic when I come into the city, which is kind of funny. My kids both grew up in little towns, and I remember my mother, their grandmother, took them to Jordan Marsh or someplace to look for Santa Claus at Christmas time one time, and they'd never seen that many people, and I think that both of them threw up, or the older one almost did, you know, she just had not seen that many. It was, my mother was kind of shocked at that, because she'd always grown up in the city. And that was a boring story I just told you, Helene.
No, I thought it was fascinating.
No, you did. You did not. Stop it.
Well, Norm, you seem to have filled in the time. And by the way, I think you and Tony make a great twosome.
Tony's
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Tony's a good kid. What do you think that the
I met him.
Oh, yes, you did. That's right. You met him at that 50th anniversary thing.
Right.
That's right. Tony was there. Considering that we're both about 80 years difference in age, I find him very interesting, and I love talking with him. He's a good kid.
He is indeed. Well, good night, love. I think you've got a lot of people waiting to speak to you now.
But you're one of my favorites, and I thank you, Helene. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. With a guy, did I just say, I said that on the air a little while ago, a guy named Jeff Kaufman, who does a program on WFAD in Middlebury, Vermont. We talked about old-time radio, even though he's a young guy, between 11 and 12 this morning. It's kind of funny to be a guest on a program and have somebody else ask you questions.
Or the ask, yeah.
Well, we talked about old-time radio, so his questions were along those lines, you know. But normally, I'm the one who asks the question, so it's kind of funny to be on the other. Maybe it's not so funny. I don't know. It seemed funny at the time. I'm sorry. I tell you the truth. I'm sorry.
You had to be there, eh?
Yeah, I'm sorry to... Eh? Yes, right, eh? I'm sorry.
Was that a Canadian slip or what?
I guess so. Especially when you said, that you came from Montana. That'll throw you off.
Montana?
No, that's some of my elusive humor. Yeah. I'm not even going to explain that. It was so dumb.
Humor.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that always befuddles me.
What do you do up in an album on Roulette called Basie, and an explosion. It had the Einstein theory E equals MC squared.
Yeah.
And which led to the development of the nuclear bomb, which was on the cover. And on the album cover, it was just called Midnight. But the title was Midnight Blue, yes.
And it started off with a wolf howling.
Well, we added that. Yeah,
That's
right. It started,
and the whistle.
That's right. We added that to the Basie song. We added either wolf howling, a coyote, it might have just been a dog howling. I don't know, and we also added the train.
Yeah,
that, but that wasn't on the original record. As a matter of fact, in the original album, it was, what do they call it before stereo? It was it wasn't even stereo when they reissued the album in stereo. They left the song. They left that
high fidelity.
Well, yeah, but what if it's not stereo? It's students. I can't think. How you doing? We're making a lot of noise here, aren't we?
I can go the whole house.
Yeah, hey. And hold on just a minute. Linda Chase is just here. Are you familiar with Linda Chase?
Me? No.
Yeah, no. I'm looking right at you, Peter. Yeah, you're the one I'm talking to. Yeah, Linda Chase does our theme music.
Yeah.
Hi, he's wonderful. He's so swell and, you know, that kind of stuff that she does. And with you, Linda, is who?
This is Mr. Dick Paris, the former lead singer and leader of North Shore Acapella.
Oh, yes, we met before.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to be doing some great theme songs for you.
Oh, good. Oh, really? Wonderful.
Yeah, you missed our duet night.
I know that. I feel badly about that. That was a tough, for some reason, it was a tough weekend for me. I think laziness had set in or something. I don't know. Was that up at Natalie's?
Well, we do it at Ken's Thursday, but the band, yeah, he's in that too.
Okay, so you're just coming from Ken's. You don't mind if we talk, Peter, hold on just a second. I'll
be
right
back in a minute,
Peter.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, because you're coming from Ken's Steakhouse where you play on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And Wednesday.
And Wednesdays too?
Yeah.
Is that a
She does. I'm much too lazy.
He's there with me on Thursdays now.
I forgot.
Dick Paris.
Dick Paris. That's a great name, Dick Paris. You're not related to Jackie Paris. You know Jackie Paris. Obviously, you'd probably.
Actually, the only Paris I know in the Boston area is Rebecca Paris, who is.
That's right. That's right. She spells it with two R's, as I recall. Does she not?
I think she does.
Do you spell it the same way?
Actually, I spell it any way that anybody will accept.
Yeah, I ask some of the most stupid, unimportant questions in the entire world. This is the stupid question program. Let me get back to Peter for just a minute. Are you still there, Peter?
I'm still here, but please continue with your guests.
What a nice, polite guy.
You are. You're a laid-back kind of guy, which is really nice. No, we were just talking. We'll talk again in just a little bit. But anyway, I appreciate you remembering the theme music. I think I asked you the last time when you brought it up.
Yeah.
Because you sound much too young to have been around back during that period. Do you just sound young, but you're really an old, decrepit? How much?
I'm in my 50s, so I remember the Sounds of the Night.
Okay, because...
It was a wonderful radio show.
Okay, no, I appreciate you remembering that, because the program went off the air in, let's see, about 68, 78, 88, 98. That's almost 30 years ago. You would have been just a young guy then.
I was just a kid. But you were my mentor, and you taught me to love good music.
I thank you very much for saying that. You know something, Peter? I'm going to send you a box of graham crackers or something just to show you how much I appreciate what you're saying. Maybe with a little small serving of guava jelly. It goes pretty great with that.
Well... Have a nice holiday.
Oh, and, you can't wait to get rid of me, can you? I can just tell. Okay, Peter, thanks a lot for the
wonderful
call.
Talking to you, Norm.
Nice to talk to you. Have a happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
I've been telling you, I've been noticing a lot the fact that a lot of the callers can't wait to hang up on me. I'm the only talk host with the listeners hang up on. somewhere in the guidebook, it's supposed to be the other way around, but it never works that way with me.
They have that button.
You need your producers to have one of those, like, bomb sounds, like, you know, blow them up off the air. Like.
Hey, what's going on? Tell me what's happening here.
We're doing an incredible duet thing. We've wanted to sing together. We've sung with each other's bands. I've sung with a cappella. He sung with my band for, like, what, 20 years or something?
Something to that effect, yeah. At least that long.
After you.
And do you both perform on other certain nights of the week, or does it just when Mr. Paris just happens to wander in and join you?
Tim Hanna, my boss at Ken's, who was Ken's son, heard us sing together and said, you know, would you be interested? Well, of course, we always wanted to do it. So, in other words, he offered us a reasonable amount of money to do it on a regular basis. So it was like, yeah. And it's working out very well.
Excellent. That's really nice.
Yeah, we have. We've been doing things, individually for a long, long time. And at different periods of time, we'd get together and sing. As she said, I'd go in and sing with her. She'd come and see us and sing with us. And it just fell now where we both had the opportunity to do something together. We always wanted to do it, never had the opportunity. And now that we do, we said, well, let's do it. And it's working out beautifully. It's just a joy.
When are we at Crickets?
Just a joy. We're going to be at Cricket's in Quincy Market May 3rd and May 25th, a Friday and a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, Cricket's. I remember Cricket's. That's kind of a young dating kind of a bar. Is it sort of like that? Or am I...
It's a restaurant lounge right in Quincy Market. Great place in the summertime. It's a terrific
place. Very mixed crowd, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it isn't just young people looking to pick up people?
No, it's a lot of fun. It's got a great place to work, and with the tourists, especially in the summer, all the tourists that come in, it's filled up with all those kinds of people, and the regulars come in. A lot of the regular people come in the summertime, but it's a great place to work. And
when are you guys going to be working there?
May 3rd and May 25th, hopefully many more times. But we're looking forward to it. But right now, Thursday nights, every Thursday night at Ken's.
That's when you get together on Thursday nights.
Are you going to come down and have dinner with me?
I will. This has been kind
I miss our dinners together.
And you will, of course, get up and sing a couple of songs with us.
I'd love to,
yes. There you go.
I do blues in a guttural kind of throaty kind of way, you know.
Well, yeah. we'll get into a little Sam and Dave, maybe a little, you know, whatever fits.
Also, like, I do a lot of Yiddish folk tunes.
I can do that.
You can do that, too?
I can sing, what, lute? I can
see that. Are we getting really silly now?
Absolutely.
You get.
I think it's a full moon.
Kind of
I was just looking to see who was waiting on the phone. There's one guy waiting on the phone. Maybe you can help me with him. This is a guy who I can't stand to talk to, and calls me every other minute, and never has anything intelligent to say.
Tony Nesbitt?
No, will you stop it? Tony Nesbitt. Don't say Tony Nesbitt.
I'm only kidding.
This is the guy known as Robert from Everett, and the only reason I talk to him at all is because people love the way I get aggravated with the stupidity of him.
You have hung up on him before, Norm.
Yeah, here we go. I have a feeling I'm going to hang up on him again. Robert, go ahead. Say something mildly intelligent.
No, she's beautiful. The young lady is singing
songs. She is absolutely gorgeous.
Can I turn the radio off?
Why do you need my permission to do that?
Well, you're the boss.
All right, turn the radio off then, flunky. He used to be a comedian. I think he was a lousy comedian. I'm pretty sure of that. But I think the only reason he comes on the program in order... Hold on a minute. I'm talking. Flunky.
That's your show, I know.
Okay. So shut up.
Do anything you want, sir.
Shut up, Robert. And I think he comes on the program because he still wants to do shtick, and there's no other program in the entire world that would allow him on the air. They would not. Nobody would hire him for a nightclub thing. And so he kind of relives his feeble efforts in show business on this program. It's really pitiful.
You're getting this.
Yeah. You get the message on this? Okay, Robert, they understand you now. I just painted a picture of you, and it was not pleasant, as you heard.
And a marvelous picture.
Yeah, but the thing is, he'll still continue to call back no matter what I say about him. There's a frustrated man.
No, I am not frustrated. You're my best friend.
See what he says?
See, that's it.
And you're the only one allows me to get on the radio.
That's correct.
I call only one station, only professional people.
No, you call me because I'm the only one who allows you on the air. And the only reason I allow you on the air is because people who listen say, I love the way you get aggravated with Robert because he sounds so dumb.
Isn't he beautiful? Linda.
Yeah.
Linda, isn't he beautiful?
He's most wonderful.
He's like a doctor to me, almost.
What kind?
He's like a doctor.
What kind?
I don't know. He just talks to me, yells at me, screams at me, hangs up on me.
That's a very strange kind of free psychotherapy you're getting there, Robert.
Linda, may I ask a personal question?
It depends.
Well, no, you did the... Is it a promo or like the commercial you did and you sing his show? I hear
all
y'all.
All the
beautiful voice and everything.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm serious. Do you still get residuals for that?
those songs, myself and my partner, David Curry, who did as a labor of love, shall we say, in exchange for all this great free publicity. No, we just did it because we... there's not too much to do on the long ride home at night. If you ever knew any musicians, sometimes we had 3 and 4 hour drives cross country or down from Canada or wherever we were. And Norm just made us laugh and smile, kept us awake, comforted us in our miserable trek across the the flatlands, wetlands, and lowlands, highlands, whatever, of this wonderful country we call America.
And driving through Litchfield at 3:30 in the morning.
And Ethel.
Yeah.
And,
and then all those
cities I've never seen before in my life. 3:30.
Cities that rise
you
out of
you do a lot of traveling?
Not anymore.
No, I used to do it all the time.
Oh, so here he goes with his showbiz career that nobody cares about.
I'd drive down the highway. I'd come from a gig or somewhere. They'd send me 100 miles away.
Did you actually stand up in front of an audience and try to do comedy?
I did it all my life since I was 5 years
yeah,
old.
Because I've never, ever heard you say anything funny. Now, what kind of an act did you have anyway?
I was a genius. I was beautiful. I was gorgeous. I was 6 feet tall.
No, I don't care what you... Hold on a minute. I don't care what you look like. Did you have an act where people cared about the things you said? Were you really funny? Because I don't find you funny at all.
I know, because you never caught my act.
Well, I know, but even then you'd come on
you
the program. Hold on a minute.
I don't dumb jokes. I stand up and entertain the audience.
How do you do that?
I sing. I do impressions. I do pantomime. I dance. I hate that word. Never mind, I don't want to talk about stick. I don't use that word stick. I do comedy.
What kind of impressions did you do?
I did everybody.
Like
you
what?
Name it. I did them. Jimmy Durante, Al Jolson,
okay.
Ed Lewis.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Barney Baker. See, I only do dead people.
I see. Now, can you do...
Dead people I
can,
do.
Can you do an impression for us to give us an example of this kind of thing you did?
No, you always hang up on me when I do Harry Lauder. He's dead.
Yeah, but you do a lousy Harry Lauder.
I do Jimmy Durante.
Okay, let me hear you do Jimmy Durante.
Ink-a-dink-a-do. We had a few dots, and it's ink-a-dink-a-do. Stop the music. Stop the music. I did the best director of anybody in America.
That's good.
Okay.
And I'm from Canada.
Well, you always say that you're from Canada. You've been here for about 2,000 years. What the name? Do another impression.
Harry Lauder?
No, I don't want
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart. Wow. Jerry Stewart. Jimmy Stewart. I used to do Frank's Not Night and Day. I did the gorgeous. I used to do Arthur Godfrey. Arthur Godfrey.
Can you do Milo Spivak for me?
He's too fat for me.
Milo Spivak.
You don't see that, but when I did it,
Milo
he was alive
Spivak.
When I did him.
You can push Milo Spivak.
I have no idea.
Linda, yeah? This is the longest time I've ever been on with Norm Nixon.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old big band singers, really. It's really an unusual voice she has there. And I was wondering, what does she look like? She happen to be, say, maybe a tall, dark-haired girl with, say, blue eyes? That's what I was thinking.
Why don't you describe what you think she looks like?
Tall, dark hair, blue eyes. Rather statuesque, actually.
And legs that never stop. And a fantastic body.
That's about the size of what I was thinking.
Am I getting
about.
You all excited by this description or anything?
No.
I tell you the truth, I'm getting kind of excited myself.
Should I tell them the truth? By the way, Norm, now see...
Your hair color is a little different than I remember.
This is my natural hair color. I'm a redhead with green eyes. I'm about 5'7", so I guess that's reasonably tall. I can't...
No, she's a very attractive lady. Yes, she is.
However, I have legs that will never quit.
He does, too. Nobody wants to look at them, though.
That's right. I found that out.
Yeah. No, she's an attractive lady, but she's not quite the description that you mentioned.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, if she ever thought of doing any other work besides the singing. Has she ever done any concert work or piano playing work or anything like that?
Yeah, she is. I can answer the piano thing. She is. In fact, you studied the concert pianist.
Piano conservatory.
Yeah, and she's a fine pianist. Most musicians play keyboard, the electronic stuff now. She can play what is called acoustic piano, which I found out is just a plain piano, and sings well. And she's a first-rate musician all around. Yes.
Yeah, she really does a remarkable job on your birthday game theme and all your other themes that you have. Her sing it there.
That's right. She does the theme for that as well as all the other themes that we use.
They're so much fun. I can't even tell you.
No, they're excellent, especially the part where you do He's so debonair. If there's any description of me that doesn't fit, it's the debonair thing.
Yeah, but Norm, one of the new ones has got to have something about sitting there oiled up in your loincloth.
Oh, you put that in there, did you?
Oh, that's the one we're working on. Okay. Wait till you hear this. This loincloth thing is amazing.
Do you have the thing with you now, or no?
No, that's it's not
done. We're going to have to wait a little bit longer for
that. No, we're producing my Dave, you know, Dave Currier, that co-wrote all the theme songs with me. He was just in Key West getting married. He got married Wednesday night in Key West.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wonderful. He's a nice guy.
He remarried. He found a wonderful girl that I sort of, you know, it's nice being a matchmaker and having something work.
I did it.
Now, if it fails, I'll be the one to blame, of course. But no, she's a wonderful girl. Her name's Karen, and they're blissfully happy. In fact, they should be getting back. They're probably listening to us now. But anyway, he came up with all these great ideas for the songs. And
On some of them, there's this. Is it Gene Sherrick?
Yeah.
The one that's
The Summer Wind.
Yes, because I get a lot of comments on that from people.
Mr. Gene Sherrick, yeah.
Oh, he's got a tremendous voice. I met him also.
Yes, you did. Remember, he did the dinner theater show
with
me.
Yes, 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 I remember that. Are you still there, Robert?
Yeah, I was hoping she would mention the possibility of cutting an album, because that was what I was going to ask her about, if she was thinking of doing any albums or anything, because I'd like to hear her doing some albums of maybe some of the big band songs, as well as, you know, even some more modern stuff like Carly Simon tunes and whatnot.
That would be a lot of fun to be with a big band. That's always been a dream. Actually, getting up in front of the Boston Symphony would be a big dream. But, you know, we'll start small.
Because Linda's quite a young lady, and when you talk about the big bands, obviously that was long before her time, and yet I can't imagine you not doing very well at that.
Well, my whole family was really into music. My grandmother used to sing. Back in those days, it would have been considered immoral to be a nightclub singer. So she used to go sing at hospitals and things like that, to military places, whatever. And my dad was in the Navy band. My mother has a beautiful voice. So I had a lot of great guidance, a lot of Ella Fitzgerald records lying around and big band stuff, a lot of good influences to grow up with.
Yeah, who do you like, Robert?
Well, there's probably only one singer today, I think, in a way that's somewhat comparable to Linda there, only she sings in sort of a softer, more falsetto-ish voice more often, and that's Carly Simon.
Hmm. No, I think Carly Simon sings very well, too. I enjoy her, and I like looking at her. She's all mouth. She's got the biggest mouth I've ever seen.
I was a good keyboard player for a chick. I mean, it was 50
exactly.
times... It was 5,000 times worse for me than it is for you. I mean, you've come a long way, babies. Maybe an overused statement.
You know what we used to.
She's got it
about.
A lot easier.
No, that's an interesting point that you're both making, because at one time, and I'm going back even further than you guys are going back, or you, Linda, but they would say, she plays good piano. She's for a girl. She sounds like a man. Mm-hmm. And then we used to test like that on the air. We play a piano thing and say, is this a man or a woman? Nobody could tell the difference. They really couldn't. So this business about you're a girl, you play great for a girl because you sound like a guy.
Terrible.
It's ridiculous, and it holds no water. It makes no sense at all. I would have thought that by now that kind of talk would have been dissipated somewhat.
It's not, though.
Really?
My freshman year of high school, that's when I started playing the drums, and all four quarters in band, I got an F. Because my bandmaster was so prejudiced against me because I was a girl playing the drums, and I was better than everybody else who was there. And it was really hard for me because I didn't get, I usually do pretty well in school, but I failed it. F, all over my report
card. How can you get back at a guy like that who is such a male sexist? Is there any way you can bring your case? Is there a higher court?
You know how you get
Actually,
back at him?
Succeed.
You succeed, exactly.
Succeed.
You know what I did? I went to a competition, and I came in, and I actually rank number 2 in the state right now.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's wonderful. What was the competition like?
It's called, it's called Northeast District, and, that was the preliminary competition, and then you go on to all states, and it was all guys, but I went in there, and I said, this is where I can change things. So I went in there, I played as hard as I could, and I just did as well as I could, and it finally worked out for me.
That's wonderful. Who are the drummers that you look up to?
Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa.
Gene Krupa is my songwriting partner.
Pick
Dave
a couple
Perry
of guys. That...
Most favorite drummer in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Who else do you like?
Steve Gadd.
Gadd, yeah.
Let's see.
Vinnie Colaiuta?
Yep, of course.
Dave Weckl,
Well, you've got great taste. You sound like a fantastic kid. What about the boyfriends? This sounds sexist when I say this. Do you have problems with guys who are intimidated by you?
Actually, I used to have a lot of problems with it, but luckily, like the young guys my age usually have a problem. They always think I'm quote unquote butch. They think, because I'm a very feminine, I'm a little girl, I'm not like big humongous girl, I'm not a beast or anything. And when I sit down and play, they kind of get intimidated if I'm better than them.
You know what I bet, and am I right, because this happened to me all through my life, I had more problems with the other girls in school, because if the guys paid attention and even gave me credit for my musicianship or for being in a band because it was cool or whatever, then all their girlfriends, even if I had no interest whatsoever, were so jealous that they'd like go out of their way to try and hurt me.
That has happened to me too, but yeah. I kind of turned it around in that way too, because like I put myself in the spotlight, so I made a lot of friends, and I went out there, and they all know me as the drummer girl, the drummer chick. That's
there you go.
The drummer chick. That's so nice. I like that. What about guys who don't play drums or not musicians? Are they intimidated anyway because of the talent that you have?
Well, actually, they kind of try to demean me. Like, I don't know if it would be demeaning, but like they'll grab my drumsticks out of my hand and they'll be like, "Oh, I can play the drums. If she can play the drums, I can play the drums."
Yeah,
and they'll try to tap out something, and I'll just laugh at them.
You mean you're talking about guys who don't play the drums at all? You mean who just because they see you with drumsticks think they can do better than you?
Yeah, well, a lot of people do that, but guys usually they'll
Their
grab
masculinity them, is being threatened. Yeah.
They'll be like, I can do that. It's not so hard to do that. Well, if she can
drop those guys because they're obviously idiots.
Yeah.
And you don't need them because you sound like somebody very, very special.
Look to somebody that's above you, not below you.
Yeah, no, that's true. You sound like you're fantastic. Well, if I were 17
like
or 18, yeah, if I were 17 or 18, I could hardly wait to call you and go on a date with you. You would have been the kind of young woman I would have loved.
Well, thank you.
And well, you sound okay, and I wish you the best. What happens now? Are you a senior in high school?
Yeah, right now I'm a senior.
So you're going to graduate in another couple of months or so?
Yep, I'm going to graduate. I have 29 days to go, 29 school days.
And counting.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I want to go to Berkeley.
Have you applied to Berkeley?
Yes, I have.
And have they accepted you?
Yes, they have.
Oh, so you not only want to go to Berkeley, but you will.
I will go to Berkeley.
Hey, you will go to Berkeley. You understand, Carrie?
For a dual major, I'm going for voice and percussion.
No kidding.
That's,
good luck.
You're fun to talk with. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you very much.
Will you
keep in touch and let us know how you're doing?
Of course.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Carrie.
There are two places in the United States where you can see the end of the world. One is Massaponix, Virginia, where I am right now, and the other one is a place known as Windburg.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Listen, Don. You hop in Pittsburgh, and you get on Route 22, and you go east. And then you come to Route 56, and you go through Johnstown, and you go through Geistown, and then you come to the first... You're going down a hill, and there's Scalp Level. Now, that's a very important town, because the man who owned that land wanted the trees cut. He wanted them scalped right to the ground. So it became known as Scalp Level.
Is that the actual name of the town?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And then you go through Scalp Level a little bit, and you come through Paint. And then the next is the world-renowned place from which you can see the end of the world, Windburg.
Okay. Linda just stepped out of the room for a minute, but she's only brought her up. She'll be right back in just a second.
Listen to me. What was the I missed the original reference that she made to Windburg.
I think she just had some friends that lived there.
Well, it's a coal miner's town. And there was also a company named Best made brassieres and things of that nature. and then it was Johns County. Can you imagine a town that would spend a vast amount of money to build a museum to illustrate to the world its ignorance? And Johnstown built a museum to demonstrate how stupid it is about floods, because they've had three major floods, right? And they're going to have another one. There's no question about it. So they build a museum to show people how foolish they are.
And then why do you say they're going to have another one? Have they taken no precautions as a result of some of the really serious floods they've had in the past?
Oh, yeah, they have, Norm, but there is no way under the sun that man can preclude a flood coming there again. There is just, it's an impossibility, because we're not God. And the dams are going to go. What they should have done, the last one, they had a golden opportunity. There's a place just north of Johnstown on 56 where it's called the Gap. And if Johnstown Wisdom had been in operation, they would have blocked up the Gap, put a dam in there, power plant in there, and made this beautiful, beautiful lake, which then you could have had glass-bottom boats, and you say, all right, there's U.S. Steel down there, there's Bethlehem Steel, plus all the recreation, and the distance from Pittsburgh to Johnstown is about an hour's drive. You'd have had a wonderful, wonderful recreation area. But instead, they held a gun at your head and my head to rebuild back right down there on the floodplain. It's a, oh, man. But Windber is a town that has more churches than Carter has pills.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. And I'm telling you, and they also have some unbelievable politicians who don't know the meaning of the term accountability or integrity. But it's a... Nevertheless, Windber is a you can see the end of the world just like you can from here at Massaponic.
Okay.
So you've got a wonderful show, and you and I are contemporaries.
And who would that be?
Well, the contemporary in terms of chronological age, not in terms of our thinking. I'm only 34. I don't know about you.
34?
Well, sure.
I got a few more years on you.
Well, now listen. You see, you're thinking legally, and I'm thinking psychologically.
No, I think psychologically as well. No, I don't feel as old as I am, but
I only feel 34.
Yeah.
And my kids say, Dad, aren't you ever going to grow up? Never, never, never. And one more comment, if I may.
Yeah, incidentally, Linda's back if you want to tell her about Windber.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Linda?
Yes.
I think you're a wonderful chartreuse.
What?
Chartreuse.
But, thank you very much.
Now, you said you went through Windber.
Yes, I have a close friend who's from there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of people in that area. And I'd had a radio program at Geistown, which is just up the top of the hill about a year. It was one of those programs that came on in the morning and when the sun came up and went down when the sun went down.
Like the milkman's man.
Yeah, right. And Johnstown is a very nice community. It was a town.
That's where the big flood was, right?
Oh, man. Not just one, three of them. I was just telling Norm that town spent millions of dollars to build a museum to illustrate how stupid they are. To illustrate a flood, another flood, and another flood. And they didn't learn a thing. Not a thing. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that you have in that area. In the fall of the year, the colors are breathtaking.
Wow.
Absolutely.
They're breathtaking out here, too. Have you been to New England in the fall?
Oh, yes, certainly.
It's very similar in a way.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous, gorgeous things. You know that young lady that was playing the drums?
Yes.
If she can maintain her dream and let nothing get in her way,
right. She
can become a world-renowned percussionist. And not let anybody get in her way. Any jerk who has any remarks that are pejorative, what she ought to say, get out of my way, mister, or whoever it happens to be.
Well, I mean, that's true of anybody in any field.
Right.
At all.
I would love to have her for a daughter. She sounds fantastic.
Well, she's up for adoption, and as long as you pay me $150, we can work it out.
Norm, you have a wonderful, wonderful show, and I'd like to also say this. You have a wonderful Easter. Okay.
You have a wonderful Easter too, Lawrence.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Yeah, bye. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Oh, here's Mary, who's in Pennsylvania, knows about Windburr also.
Pennsylvania.
What is this, a whole big Windburr night? Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hey, that little town of Windburr, if you close your eyes or blink your eyes, you're going to go through, when you go through it, you'll miss it. But they have a big hospital.
They do? I bet I know something about Windburr that you don't.
What's that?
It was named for a guy that owned one of the huge mansions in Newport, Rhode Island, called Berwind, B-E-R-W-I-N-D. And when he moved to Pennsylvania, and he started that town, and they just reversed the two syllables and named it Berwind.
Windburr.
Windburr.
Yes. Yeah.
So that I did find out about. That's all I know about it, other than that my friend is from there.
Are you impressed, Mary, with that?
Yes.
A lovely lady from Cranston, Rhode Island, called me and said, can you come and sing at our senior center sometime? So thanks to whoever was on the phone at that time, I had myself a lovely job and enjoyed myself tremendously.
That's good. You sing all kinds of music? Or?
Yes, yeah. Anything but opera.
Okay. Yes, do you sing professionally?
Yes.
There was a guy by the name of Guy Manila.
Yes, Guy Manila was the sports guy. Yeah, he was excellent. Yes.
Yeah, I, you know what? I've lost track of him. Is there any way that anybody could tell me where he is now?
I'm not sure. I think he lives. He lives in New Hampshire now, around Nashua, and he went into another business. You might check the phone book around the Nashua, New Hampshire area, and I think you might be able to come in contact with him. But he did Calling All Sports here, and he was brought back to another station also for a while. And anyway, that didn't last too long, and so he went back to his original business, which was what?
He's a terrorist.
Pardon me?
He's a terrorist.
Who is this guy?
This is Dick Paris, who came with Linda Chase. He fashions himself as a wit. And he's in the same category, I think, of Robert from Everett when he has those kind of jokes.
Like that.
And that's about as cutting as I can get.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, he was in the heat conservation thing. You remember when we were talking in terms of putting windows on the roof in order to, what do they call that?
Solar heating?
Solar heating. I think he was involved in solar heating, or that kind of thing, for a while. But you might check the operators up around the Nashua area. You might
be
able to
think of him when he was doing.
I thought he was excellent. I worked him later on. He left the business and he'd come back, and his coming back wasn't all that successful. It just didn't seem to work out. I don't think it was his fault. Maybe it was the way he was spotlighted or whatever. But at that point, I thought he was pretty good.
Back then, you know, that type of radio was, I think, was at the forefront of the radio that is now. Like, nobody was really doing that sort of thing then.
You mean talk radio, you mean?
Yeah, that sort of thing. And so I thought it was always pretty good civil dialogue. And Manila led the parade, I thought. And then Eddie Andelman and all those guys from the Sports Huddle came along. And WBZ was more or less at the forefront of that sort of dialogue then.
Yes.
And they got better as
yeah, I thought that Guy Manila was quite civilized in comparison to some of the people who came along later on. The Seuss was still working here, but he was not on the air. Dave Maynard had pretty much taken over his morning show. And we had a guy here named Dick Tucker who I thought was pretty good. He had a program called Fun on the Phone in which he'd call people... Call with kind of funny situations. I'm trying to think of what that was like. It was like
anything like.
What's the name of that program with it? Anyway, he would call a department store and he would ask for some outlandish kind of dress or pair of pants or underwear or something, and he would record it and then play it back later on after he got, because you had to get the okay of the person you were talking with. You couldn't tell them you were on the, you couldn't put him on the air without telling them.
Right.
And that, in a way, would spoil everything. So he would record the whole thing, then ask him if it was okay. But he was very clever. Fun on the phone. That was something that was kind of sharp and quite good.
Well, and again, to use a word that you don't like to use about this particular program, I think that's the charm of your program, is that it's light and it's fun, and people want to call because of that and talk about those things, and it's loose and it's easy. and they can relax a wee bit without having to get into the really controversial
stuff. Well, I think if you can't giggle a little bit at 2:30 in the morning, I know lots of people who are have a tough time of life, and they worry about it. And 2:30 in the morning, I think, is when you worry most about anything. It's not easy, and especially if you've lost a spouse or if you're not feeling well or if you've got a whole lot of bills to pay or something is a problem with you. If at least this time of the day you can smile and laugh, it does help a little bit.
Absolutely.
It's a difficult period for people. And I'm just so compassionate. I keep interrupting you, Bernie. I'm sorry. It's because I happen to be a loudmouth. But I happen to be so terribly compassionate that I just want to help the world. You understand, Bernie? I want the world to smile and to laugh and to giggle and to dance.
I like that. That's
okay, dance. Dance, Bernie. Dance, Bernie. Anyway, I appreciate what you're saying, and I thank you very much.
I just want to know that, am I allowed to play this dumb birthday game?
I'm going to turn you over to Tom, and he can talk to you. I don't know how many people have asked and how many people he's got. So let me talk to you, Tom. Oh, you've already talked to Tom. Bernie?
I believe I have, yes.
Okay.
And he's already, I guess, confirmed that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody across the Eastern Seaboard has heard that I want to ask to play this game.
I see. You're a fat square overhead overnight work going on at least until 6 a.m., possibly later, given as it's a Saturday. And for the next hour to 2 hours, work crews will be sweeping the expressway northbound and southbound Columbia Road to the South Station Tunnel, moving around into a variety of spots. The Tobin Bridge heading northbound, a little bit of ongoing construction to watch out for, some lane restrictions until about 6 a.m. as well. Currently, 128, 495, the Mass Pike, doing well. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ. 24-hour traffic network. Is to do something, and if you want to write, you really got to sit down and write. That's about one of the toughest jobs of all, because it's kind of lonely there just sitting at your typewriter or computer and looking at blank pages and trying to fill them in with something worthwhile. So that's the advice from Mary Higgins Clark, and I just thought I'd be your inspiration and pass that along to you. Thank you so much.
We used to see you in the Bradford Room in Boston.
Well, that could be. That could be.
Remember when you broadcasted from there?
Oh, no, I didn't broadcast from there. WBZ did used to broadcast from the Hotel Bradford in Boston.
No.
No?
Is it the Hotel Tremaine?
No, WHDH way back used to be in the Hotel Tremaine. I never worked for HDH back then either during that period.
Uh-huh.
But we probably met somewhere. Maybe it was...
Oh, yeah.
Tierra del Fuego or someplace exotic, Dottie.
Yeah, I know I saw you someplace.
Antwerp, Belgium. I think that's where we met.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Dottie, I'm making jokes here, and you're taking it so seriously.
It's a long time ago. Oh, no, I'm nervous, because I've been going to call you for so long, and I'm ashamed because you've helped me through so many bad times and nights and good times too.
I'm glad.
Yeah, and I thought, well, I have to call you because, of course, I wait every weekend for you to come on.
Well,
and
thanks.
This week has been a bonus.
Well, that's a nice thing to say. Thanks a whole lot. That's really nice of you.
Oh,
I appreciate that, Dottie. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what did I want to say? Oh, I really needed a pick-me-up and a laugh tonight, and your program with the birthday game was terrific.
Thank you.
I don't know how you do it.
We just sit around and giggle all night, just like a bunch of school kids.
Oh, I love to giggle with you. And all of my friends, they do too. And when you're on, it makes the whole weekend, the whole week.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Dottie. Well, goodness,
yeah.
I'm getting such a big fat head. I'm pretty good. See what Dottie said? I'm pretty good.
You're not just pretty good. You're super.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dottie.
All right.
I hope you have a good weekend, and stay warm now.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Norm. Well,
thank you, Dottie. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, 254-1030, area code 617. The winner, incidentally, of the two free passes to the White House Collection of American Crafts at the Springfield Museum of Fine Arts, which is a great show and a very interesting part of the state that a lot of people here in the eastern part are not even aware of it exists out there. Anyway, the winner, Gene Gordon of Holbrook, congratulations to you, and I thank you very, very much. You'll love the show, and you'll also love that. Well, you probably, maybe you know a lot about the Springfield. I've been there the western part of the state a couple of times over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, I've been there before, but my youngest daughter graduated from UMass and Amherst, so obviously I would go out there a lot during that period. But it's an interesting part of the state, and I mention that because not too many people here in the eastern part seem to be aware that there is a state beyond Natick or Framingham. Thank you very much. I just wanted to preach to you a little bit because I happen to be a very boring person.
Au contraire, mon ami. You were the best, and I hope you're enjoying these moments again, wherever you are. Love you, big guy. Closing the vault and cruising these radio waves home. For Norm's HGPG, my neighbor, Rusty Lettuce, Carol Gardner, Bumper Stickers, and Bumpers Made for Bumper Stickers, Joel Mesnick, the Howe Manning School in Middleton, Mass, Andrew Yoder, Pirate Radio Stations, Linda Romero, John J. Moran, Jeff Kaufman, WFAD in Middlebury, Vermont, Felton Smith, St. Rose's Church in Topsfield, Mass, WQFE in Indiana, the lovely and somewhat sensuous and costly area code of 617, Sonia and Sarah Nathan, Jordan Marsh, Graham Crackers and Guava Jelly, Linda Chase, Dick Paris, North Shore Acapella, Ken Steakhouse, Crickets in Quincy Market, singing guttural blues and Yiddish folk tunes, Drummers, Vaudeville, Robert from Everett, Guy Manella, Dick Tucker, The Hotel Bradford, The Hotel Tremaine, The 50,000-watt WBZ, Tom Howie, Little Cafes in Antwerp, Belgium, Sitting Around and Just Giggling, and the host of the only talk show where the callers hang up on him, the compassionate loudmouth himself, Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.